time for Sports Lit 101. We'll turn things over to Bruce Pratt as we get a chance to talk about a book that we've discussed a couple of times here on the segment, Abdi's World. Bruce, looking forward to hearing more about it from the people behind the book.
We sure are. So first, I really want to welcome in the co-founder of Solstice Publishing, who published this book. It's the third book of theirs we've talked about. We talked about Imogene, and we Flagstaff Love Story. We talked about Chasing Excellence. And now we're talking about Abdi's World, the Black Cactus on Life, Running, and Fun. And so I want to welcome Miles Schrag into the show. Hi, Miles.
It's good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you, too. It's been too long since every year SLA has been virtual lately. We haven't got to get together. We also, for those who have a long memory, will recall that Miles' dad, Joe, was on with us to talk about his book way back a number of years ago on the Kansas Relay. So we've talked a lot about running on the show over the years, everything from the Bunyan Derby to other kinds of running events. But we've never really talked about who may be one of the greatest distance runners this country has ever turned out, and Abdi Abdirahman, a five-time Olympian, and he missed one in the middle. So when you think about that, this is a man who almost qualified for six Olympic Games. He's got a compelling story. And Miles, what drew you to this?
Well, Abdi is a beloved figure here in Flagstaff, where I live and where he trains a lot. He lives in Tucson, but he's up here a lot. And so I knew of him. I didn't really know him, but when he qualified for the fifth Olympics, that was really, it's unprecedented. He's the only American male distance runner to have done that. And I was at the a local restaurant and bar. Everybody was watching the Olympic trials on February 29, 2020. And I think we all, as much as we know about Abdi, and like you said, he's been around forever and he's always near the front. I think we were all a little shocked to see him in the running to make the team. And so I talked with him a little bit after that. Actually, I was looking to get a testimonial from him about the book on Joe Vigil, Chasing Excellence. And he just happened to mention that he's been thinking about writing a book. He'd love to do that. I certainly knew his story was compelling, even though I didn't know the details of it beyond that, you know, he was born in Somalia and came here as a refugee, but I didn't know details, and I don't think a lot of people do. That's one of the great things about this book, is we really get to dive deeper into that, and Abdi's been really open about that in the book. I just knew he was a great runner and had a long career and was a loved figure in the running community. And so we ended up talking about it, establishing what we wanted to create and what kind of voice he wanted to put out there. And it really is a message of wanting people to know how much fun running has been for him, why it is, and why he wants people to have fun and have a unity about them as they go through life, whether they're runners or not. He's just a great, charismatic figure.
Well, one of the things I found so compelling about the book is the way he does make the case that distance running is fun. Now, you can find a lot of kids that'll run 100 meters. You can find a lot of people like me that'll run up to 400 meters. But among the distance runners I know who have been most successful, they talk about the joy of running. And most of us think of it as the hard work and the drudgery of running. I was astonished to see how lightly he treats the pain of running, even though he had to endure a lot of it. It's sort of like, yeah, well, that happens. But then I go out for a 22-mile run and I feel better.
Right. I certainly think that, and I'm certainly not an elite distance runner. I shouldn't speak for them, but I feel like they know how to compartmentalize, you know, pain and what their intention is for a given workout. They know when to have fun, and Abdi more than most, I think, knows when to have fun in a workout and knows when to grind it out. And I think that he's done a lot of training on his own through the years, and yet he's also had a lot of training partners and knows how to maximize the fun and the value of having training partners that he can count on, and how he can tweak them and they can tweak him to get the best out of a workout. And I think they also know when it's just more important to have fun with what they're doing, and they establish that.
One of the things I loved in the book was his running rules to live by, because If I had had these when I was a coach, I'd have been a lot better. A setback is a setup for a comeback. I mean, you can't say it any more precisely than that in all kinds of sports. There is no such thing as a quick fix. The last week of a taper cannot make you fitter. You know, you're not going to, in that last 2 days, do whatever it is that's going to have you win that event. You've got to be ready before that. Recovery is part of your training. That was, for me, was one of the hardest things to get across to athletes, that you have to do the recovery. This is what you got to do or you're not going to be successful. Have fun and enjoy the journey. I mean, here's a man who in his 40s is running in the New York Marathon at the front of the pack, in what we think of as a game where really by your early 30s, mid-30s, most of the great distance runners have started to peak. He's going on. I mean, I could he be the Tom Brady of running? Could he be playing? Could he be doing this at 50?
That might be pushing it. And if you talk with him about it, he's pretty coy about it, because I think that he really has internalized that idea that age is just a number. And I don't think he wants to think about what those limits are. So, I mean, you talk to him and he really does take the long approach. Those five rules to live by, they can sound trite, but for people who haven't read the book yet, if you read the book, you do understand that he lives those things. He thinks long-term. If something doesn't go right today, there's always tomorrow, and he's going to get right back on it. The best example of that is 2016. He was hurt and missed the marathon Olympic trials, had to back out late, you know, a week or two in advance of the trials. That was a frustrating setback, and yet he came back and was the oldest person to podium at New York that November, placing third. Even though he didn't get to the Olympics that year, he made sure to make his own, strong performance later in that year. And he really does live by that kind of credo when it comes to setbacks, when it comes to thinking long term, being loyal to what works, including your coach. He's had the same coach, Dave Murray, who was at Arizona for a long time. He still has him to this day. And Coach Murray is as laid back as Abdi is, and yet they get the job done. He lives those things.
Well, he's also such an incredibly grateful person for a guy who could have been on the boat where everybody sank and died, never gotten from mm-hmm. Somalia to Mombasa, never been able to get out of that refugee camp, as many didn't for years. And he comes to America, and he's just this incredibly grateful guy, and he talks about the difference between luck and accomplishment. And boy, I thought that's a lesson so hard to tell people. You know, you can get lucky. You can slip out in the open and catch the pass that wins it all, or you can fight your way through the traffic and get out there and catch the pass. And it's a different kind of thing. And he makes it clear sometimes he was lucky, but that led him to have the chance to accomplish things.
Yeah, he doesn't take anything for granted. And I truly believe that this also could be considered a cliche, and yet I see it when I talk to him, and I hope it comes through in the book. He is proud to be an American. Yeah. Because this country gave him a lot, and he understands not everybody got that chance. He'll take the luck when he can get it, but he's also not going to take it for granted. And I think that he just understands that maybe more than a lot of us do. I really feel like the book was a great opportunity to go into detail about the story of how his family left Somalia and was in Kenya for a couple of years in the refugee camp, and how they came to Tucson when he was a teenager. And he didn't speak the language at that point. He didn't know what to expect. I mean, he was, you know, kind of a lost teenager. Running gave him a purpose. It gave him a connection point with other people. And he, yeah, like you say, not everybody knows what they want to do and gets the opportunity. And I think that's part of why he hangs on to running, too. He loves it because it's given him so much.
And he didn't really start running in earnest until he was 19 years old. I mean, when he was at Pima, I mean, he was running before that, and he talked about running for play and like when he lived in Africa, but he's 19 years old and he's in junior college, and then somebody just happens to see him and say, you might want to go to the University of Arizona and run. You're really good. What I loved about it was he never talked about himself as being a refugee. He talked about himself as being an immigrant in the sense that I came here when I was young. I didn't come here to go to college, switch my citizenship and go for the, I'm an American. I'm on the American Olympic team. I've been on the American national teams. And I think that is remarkable. I'm hoping that we'll be able to continue some relationship with him, because we have a larger Somali population in Maine. It's our largest African-based ethnic group. And they brought running. They brought a lot of distance running to Maine. And we've had some good distance runners, Ben True and some other guys like that. But he embodies, to me, the true pilgrim. You know, I mean, he didn't want to leave. He liked living in Mogadishu by the beach with his friends, but he doesn't look at that as, boy, look at the terrible thing that happened to me. Look, instead, it's look at the wonderful thing that happened to me. And I find that astonishing, ennobling.
Yeah, and I agree. Now, and here's the thing, too. You know, he doesn't speak out a lot on a lot of issues. He doesn't talk about the Somali Civil War. He doesn't, you know, talk about the immigration issue, which I know is a very, you know, divisive topic. And I think that's because he wants to see positivity all around him. And he's seen a lot of negativity. And I think that he doesn't see that as serving him. As somebody who worked with him on the book, I sometimes wanted him to be more vocal about that kind of thing. But that's not really what is important to him. I think it's important for him to see, for people to have the opportunity to live a full life and to be grateful and to give back and to see the best in other people. And to me, that's a noble thing. And I would say it's a very American approach to things, at least America at its best. And so I give him a lot of credit for seeing the positive in the world when all of us, and certainly him, have seen a lot of negative in the world.
You've talked about how he's had Murray for his coach for all these years, and how he stayed with certain things, how he's been a great guy to train with. If you could sum up in just one little bit, when you think of him, what most comes to mind about Abdi? Because I think you probably get better insight than the rest of us will get, even if we've read the book, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe him is I was going to say humble, but I feel like more than that, it's more about a joy. I think the joy is what comes through, and I don't mean that in a everything is going to be great. I mean, he's not unrealistic or Pollyannish in that view. He just simply chooses joy. And I think the world can use a lot more of that, whether you're an athlete, whether you're a runner, or whatever you do in the world.
Well, I really appreciate that. And we really appreciate talking to you. We hope we can connect with Abdi another time. I'd love to have him on with us. But people, it's a great book, Abdi's World, The Black Cactus on Life, Running, and Fun from Solstice. And that's Soulstice, not like the winter and summer, but with soul. And it's a book with great soul. It's a great publishing company. Miles, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Bruce. It's great to be here and talk to you.
All right, that's Miles Schrag, who's just been putting out great books, and I'm really glad I've gotten to know him and can't wait to see him again soon.
Absolutely.